I'm one of those people that used to struggle to let go of friends. I would just cling and try to make it work. And then you realize that you're doing a disservice to yourself.
I think the older that I get, there's like zero expectations. I'm like, I'm going to love you where you're at. If you're mean to me, I'm going to say something,
For sure, you know?
Yeah. But like most of the times my friends aren't mean. It's just most of the times they're just trying to survive in life.
Yeah. When I look back, even though I was such a giver in friendship, I wasn't actually like opening the vulnerable parts of myself. It was easier to just always focus on them, which is why I became like a therapist I was the one always driving to the person.
What is this coming up within me? Like, why am I seeking validation on what I'm expressing? And really what it should be is just me sharing to share. Like, yes, I want to be seen, but I think a big part of that is allowing myself to be comfortable seeing myself.
If you lost your memory and one person in your life had to choose to like share who you are, give you your memory back, or like tell your story. It like really made me think, like, who would I choose in my life?
Welcome to the Fully Expressed Podcast.
We're your hosts, Corinna
and Samantha.
And this is the show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy.
Hey guys, on today's episode, Corinna and I wanted to talk all about the ups and downs of friendship as an adult. So many of us are craving community, we're craving friendships, especially as women. We just want that deep soul sisterhood, and we thought we'd talk about how do you cultivate it, what does it look like when you create it, and how do you navigate maybe friendships that are no longer for you, no longer in alignment, and what that looks like as an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is something that we're going to go through through every era, but I think the way that we relate to friends changes in every era. Mm-hmm. And I think you had like a really good question that you asked me before we started clicking, was just like the difference between friendships in our 20s versus friendships in our 30s.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's going to change when we get to friendships in our 40s. But I feel like when it comes to like how I thought of friendship in my 20s compared to how I think about friendships in my 30s is just so completely different. And I think that in itself is something to either grieve or work through, because you're no longer relating to them in the same way, but you're also asking more in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like you're asking less, but more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have to show up differently also because of like the way your availability becomes less as you get into relationship with a partner and you get married and you have kids and you have maybe a career that in your 20s, you just don't really have. Some do, but you don't always have those things, those same constraints holding you.
Totally. I can relate to that.
What do you think is the biggest difference you've seen in your friendships, like when you look back at your 20s to now?
I think there's this like understanding, like what you were just saying, like there's understanding that we're all living, that like we are all navigating our stuff. There isn't this expectation of, I don't know, it's like not that like I have to be there for them, but like there's an expectation that we have to hang and talk all the time. Mm-hmm. It's more of like when we get to, and obviously, you know, in order to make friendships, like it's inconvenient to hang out with your friends sometimes, right? Like we have to make the extra effort, but there is this underlining understanding that like, wow, life is lifing, like especially, and we don't even have kids yet. We're just like married and have businesses, and that in itself is very time consuming. And so I think that has changed versus like in my 20s, it was just so we wanted to be with each other all the time, right? We wanted to make all the plans, go out to the club, go dancing, go out all the time. And I think also what changed that was just like financially what you want to spend your money on has also shifted.
Yeah.
From your 20s to your 30s. But what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was single for a lot of my 20s, so it was friendships were my priority. And they're still, I mean, let's be real, they are still my priority, but in a different way. I think, yeah, I was going out, having fun, wanting to be around other single people. And now, I mean, I have friends that are single still, but the things, like you said, that we want to do are so different. Like a night in where we get to connect and just catch up and talk about life is way more intriguing to me than going out and partying and those things that I think your 20s are meant for, like to have fun. And I also think the depth I craved from women changed when I got into my 30s. Like when I was in even my early 30s, I feel like I was okay having more superficial friendships if we were doing fun things or like we had common activities. And I think now especially as I get older and my time gets less, I really want that equal depth. I want to be able to feel like we're a sisterhood, like we can talk about anything. I can be all of myself. And I think in my 20s, I don't know how this was for you, but it was really easy to show up as like a part of myself. I didn't have to, I think there was safety in that. I didn't have to open myself completely, and I still felt seen enough.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to this place of moving from having like more surface level friends to like really craving deeper friends? Like how did you create, what did you have to shift within yourself?
I think it has to do a lot with like the fully expressed journey of just realizing that I wasn't actually being seen. I was, you know, this is just like an aha, but I feel like when I look back, I was reliving the same dynamic that I had in, that I felt I had in my family. So I never really felt fully seen, maybe in some ways still don't feel fully seen by my family, my immediate family. But now, but then I started realizing I was experiencing that in my friendships as well. So there was a part of me that maybe in the beginning I didn't even realize wasn't safe to show up. And then when I recognized that, I realized like, oh, I really want to be seen. I think a big catalyst for that too is meeting my husband, because he was probably the first person that I actually ever felt all of myself was seen by. And so when he made me feel safe in that, I realized I could feel that with other people too. What about you?
I was just thinking about feeling safe to be seen. It's so interesting. I feel like, yeah, there were like parts of me in my 20s that I feel like a lot of people saw, but it was like more of the internal world part that I didn't want to share with the world. So like in my 20s, I think the gift was like I would be drinking and I was silly and I was myself and I was expressive and, you know, in more of a fun way, which I still loved. Like there's some memories that I've made in my 20s that I will forever hold close to my heart. And I feel like those friendships, they know me in a certain way. Mm-hmm. But when it came to like really learning to feel seen, it was more feeling seen on like the, how do I feel right now? Or like, what's going on in my internal world? Or like, what stories am I creating? Or like, what's coming up for me? I didn't really feel super safe to share those as much in my 20s. And that took me time to get comfortable with sharing the messiness, not just like the good and fun and happy parts. But it was the parts of me that were either angry or sad or just heartbroken, and letting people see me in that is something I had to grow through.
Did you experience anything when you started to share those parts of yourself where you weren't received, or you weren't received in the way that you wanted to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's part of the journey. I feel like I had to learn that, you know, like every time that I shared something and if it wasn't received, you know, at first I was like, why aren't you seeing me? Or like, this is on you. And I'd be like, this is, yeah, like I'd play more of that victim card. Mm. And then eventually it shifted to actually like, what is this coming up within me? Like, why am I seeking validation on what I'm expressing? And really what it should be is just me sharing to share. Like, yes, I want to be seen. But I think a big part of that is allowing myself to be comfortable seeing myself, not only focusing on other people seeing me.
Yeah, I think that's such a huge point you just made, is that part of it is allowing yourself to see yourself and see those parts of yourself and realize that's not – there's nothing wrong with you for having parts of yourself that are messy or confused or insecure or feel like you have to embellish things or you have to present a certain way. And I think it's really easy when we live in a society that competes – like pushes women to compete against one another, which I think is a huge block we're working towards getting past or moving over, is this idea that we have to be enough or we have to appear to be enough, and we whatever we decide that enough is. And I think in your 20s, it's really easy to be held back by that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're also learning how to – I think in our 20s, you know, like you – if you followed the system, right, like you went to high school and you went to college, like you were put in these communities and the first thing you're going to want to do is belong.
Yeah.
Like, so you're like, how do I have to belong? Okay, what do I have to do for this person to accept me, love me in order to belong? And then once college goes away, you're kind of like met with like, holy shit, I'm not a part of this community or this space of people anymore. you're starting to come a little bit more into yourself. You're asking yourself the bigger questions of like, what do I want to do in my life? And you kind of walk into the world being like, well, shit, what do I want to do? Am I going to get a job if I don't get a job? And all those things are a part of the journey. And I think as you get older, you're no longer, you can choose communities to be a part of, right? Like you can choose like, oh, I want to be a part of art, or I really want to be around other entrepreneurs, or I really want to be a part of a book club because that's an interest of yours. But you are also choosing that interest.
Yeah.
And then you are deciding like, okay, this is a part of me that I want to find and express and be around other people that are like that. And you have the choice of like, are they only going to see that part of me, or are they also going to see other parts of me?
Yeah. Which also is okay. I mean, I think back to when I was going to a jewelry studio and I shared a lot of parts of me. I mean, we created a really tight-knit group of women and I feel so grateful for that time period. But there was still – I really didn't actually – I only hung out with the women outside of that studio very briefly. Like not – we didn't hang out a lot. We did a few things together over the years. And I liked the way it was, and that was okay. And I loved that I got to show up as that creative part of myself that maybe some people in the rest of my life don't always get to see. But I also think, you know, you can also be – I think that's the other thing that adulthood has taught me is you can be selective at who you show the deepest, darkest parts of yourself with. And that's also important.
Totally. And that doesn't have to be with everyone either.
Yeah.
I think that was like a lesson that I had to learn from going from my 20s to my 30s. I thought that – I'd want every friend to see me in the same way, or like I'd want all my friends to be kind of at the same level, whatever you want to call it. It's so hard to speak about it in like logical terms, but you know, like I wanted to be equal across all of them. And then what I've realized with every single friendship, it's so much more than just having the same friends. It's really like, actually, Krista Williams said this on a reel that I really love. She's like, I don't really have like one best friend. She's like, I have a friend that like really makes me laugh. Like there's like different parts of her that are seen in every single friendship. And some friendships you get the whole spectrum, and some friendships there's a different flavor of how they see you or how you guys respond and how you guys relate to each other. But that's the beauty of learning how to relate to one another. And I really love that because I feel like even if I look at all my friends, like they're all amazing in their own way, but we relate to one another so differently. The way that I relate to you is different than I relate to someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty and the gift in it. It's not like, oh, I have to have all my friends a certain way. Like the beautiful thing is that they are different.
Yeah. It's interesting. I saw a question come up maybe on a TikTok or a reel, which was, if you lost your memory and one person in your life had to choose to like share who you are, like to give you your memory back or like tell your story. It like really made me think like, who would I choose in my life to be that person to tell you who you were or who you are?
That's such a great question. I mean, I immediately think of Nick.
I know. I thought of Austin too. But then I was like, then I also thought of you because I just think.
I think of you too.
Yeah. Like our friends see us so differently than our partners, but then. Obviously, our relationship is a lot different than our other friends because we spend so much time together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just so interesting to think about the deepest part, the people that get to see those parts of us is such a gift.
Mm-hmm. When you ask that question, like the first thing I think about is like, not just like who sees me the most, but I think the person that sees me in the best light is like what I think about. Like,
yeah,
not just like I think people see us, but there's nothing like having a friend in your corner that no matter what room you step into, like they see the best, you know, like they have understanding for the way that you are, for your like shit that comes up. Like they don't present you through their projections. Like they present you through like these beautiful eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think about like you and Nick, because I was like, you know, you both can't say anything negative about me.
It's true.
And so I would want to hear that. Like, you know, if my whole world got wiped around, I'd be like, you know, because sometimes I think that's even a bigger question as to like, that's why friendship is there. Because sometimes we don't see ourselves in those beautiful lights and like how beautiful it is to have friends that do see you as like your highest self all the time. Like they can express to you so deeply how perfect and beautiful and how expansive and how creative and, you know, how they really see you is just so beautiful to have friends that can do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing that I think why I crave depth, for example, because the words that people use to describe the other person I think about is Rosie, for example. Rosie's so good. Giving you a little shout out. Rosie's so good at it, just expressing what she sees in people.
Yeah, she is.
And I think that comes from the level of work that you do for yourself. I think that comes from the level of space that you allow yourself to be seen, because eventually, like, we're all mirrors of each other. But I think that's the other reason why I crave depth in relationship, because it's so much more like, you're so beautiful. You're amazing. You're so great. Versus someone expressing to you, like, you're so intuitive, you're so expansive, you're so grounded. Like, the way that you make me feel is just beyond, like, they have words that express so much more deeply.
Yeah.
And that's like someone that's speaking to your soul versus just speaking to your body, you know, like your external world.
Yeah. That made me think about some of the friendships in my 20s too, where we've talked about this previously, but just like, you give so much of yourself and you just want that mirrored back to you. You just want to receive that reciprocity. And I don't think everyone, especially in our 20s, are even capable of that. I mean, we're all just focused on like figuring out who the hell we are. And I think as I got older, like I recognized, oh, everything is a mirror for me. So as you said earlier, like, what is this showing me in myself? And I do think that if you're craving depth, as you're speaking to, you have to be willing to give depth, or you can't. When I look back, even though I was such a giver in friendship, I wasn't actually like opening the vulnerable parts of myself. It was easier to just always focus on them, which is why I became like a therapist, or a, I was the one always driving to the person. It was very like one-sided, because I made it that way, even though in my mind I'm like, why don't they treat me this way? When I was really like closing myself off to allowing anyone to be that to me.
Totally. Same. I agree with that.
Do you – I'm curious, like, what would you say when you look back with to some of the friendships that you don't have in your life anymore to now? Like, how did you know – that those, you knew I was going to ask this. How do you know that those friendships, like, how do we tell the difference between whether a friendship is for us and it's just going through a difficult time, or it's actually not an energetic match anymore?
I think, like, now I look at I feel like I look at individuals themselves as like on their own path and their own timeline. And I think we all meet people that we're supposed to meet to either like, make progress in that timeline or to grow and evolve. And I think as you meet these people, they come into your life for those seasons, and some continue to evolve with you, but sometimes you end up evolving in different ways. Like, it's almost like, okay, you go to the right and I'm going to go to the left. And I think my like 20-year-old self, but also like my early 30s-year-old self would have been like so hurt by a friend no longer being in my life. But I think now in my like mid-30s, I am like pretty accepting as to like, you know, if we're meant to be in each other's lives, we will. And the one thing that I want for everyone more than anything is for me to evolve in this. My soul came here to do some work, you know? And if it's going to – and I think we're all on this healing journey. We're all getting triggered. We're all trying to find how to heal our soul's wounding. And we're going to make decisions from that place. Some people will continue to evolve with us as we heal those things, and then some will not. And I think getting to a place of being okay with that has been like my biggest thing. And I think one language that I've used before is like, I've used language before where like, well, maybe we don't have the same capacity. And what has happened is like, let's think about Jackie's episode. It's just like expressing myself fully, asking for what I want and desire. And then all of a sudden they ghost me. I'm going to be like, okay, like you couldn't meet me in that. And, but I know that like I was asking for clarity and that's what I needed in that moment. And I've never asked for clarity before. And because I listened to my truth and like what was in alignment with me or what was in integrity for me, it showed me that my friend couldn't continue on that path with me. Makes sense?
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know what else would you add.
I think for me, the biggest struggle has always been, do I outright end a relationship, or do I just let it, like you said, just the energetically disconnect naturally. And I think in the times I've just allowed it to go its own way, it's been a much better outcome than when I've tried to confront it, because I don't do well with confrontation. I'm getting better, but I don't do that great with confrontation. So I think it comes down to recognizing, do I need to say something for myself to like set a boundary or to, you know, stand in my truth or to be authentic? Or is this just me needing validation or like them to understand something? And I think in my early 20s, I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be understood, and I wanted to be like, oh, no, like you're not getting it, or you're mean, or you're this. And for example, like there was a friendship in my 20s that ended and really badly. And like we had had a tumultuous friendship for many reasons throughout it. But I think we were friends when we were 18, we dated brothers. And then she felt I chose the brother, like that my boyfriend at the time, over her. Then came back, broke up with him, came back around to her, and like felt like I realized looking back, I was just trying to like make up for that time. Like I just wanted her to see me and love me and know I'm good. I'm a good girl. Like I'm a good friend. And in the end, it blew up in my face and she said horrible things to me on a phone call one day. And I realized looking back, like, oh, I didn't need to prove myself to her. And in doing that, like I just let go of my own value almost, because I didn't feel good enough, because I was just constantly trying to make up for being a bad friend in her eyes. Anyways, point being, like for a long time, I wished I had spoken back to her. Like she basically verbal vomited on me and was like, we're not friends anymore. I've had this happen twice in my life, actually. Both times they came back, I would just like to say. But I've had two people be like, don't call me back. Don't respond to me. Don't respond to this email. Like there's nothing for you to say. I'm saying my piece and that's it. I don't want to hear your side. And looking back, like in that time period, I, of course, was just like, okay, like I respected their boundaries. And maybe that was the right decision in the moment. But I think now, if that were to ever happen, I'd be like, can we have a conversation? Like, I think I wouldn't be as afraid to stand in that moment and speak my truth. But I think you have to decide, like at that time where I was, it just wasn't worth it to me. And I probably didn't have the confidence to say how I really felt. I just felt like emotional. And I shut down. And so, yeah, I think now I think you have to ask yourself, like, do I just let this fade off into the distance and like go about my life? Or is it worth like having a conversation about?
I think like one thing that has helped me is like twofold. Like one, am I making this decision as a way to like prove myself or to get validation to yourself? Like, does my ego want something in this? And if that was gone, what do I really need? And what do I want? And who's this for? Mm-hmm. And that comes down to like what you need in that moment. I think that's like ultimately like the best way to decide, do I say something? Do I not say something? Do I cut this friend off? Like, am I direct? Am I questionable? Whatever it is, I think if you come from a place of like, if you truly are coming from a place of good intention, you're not wishing this person bad ill, or you're not coming from a place of lack, or you don't want to take anything from them, how would you respond? And then go from there. And then I think that's how you know. You just know. And then sometimes you're like, actually, like, I realize that like, I really want to say something because I need her to hear me, you know, or like, you know, I'm realizing because I really need to set a boundary and like this friendship is really toxic for me. Like some people do have really toxic friends that they don't know how to say no to. Yeah. So I think like you can express and just say, hey, like, you know, after like for the time being, I need some space. Like you can totally do that in protection of yourself. But that's not necessarily a bad thing either. I think it's just expressing what you need and what you want.
I think in those moments when I look back, I mean, I'm fine with how it was probably better I didn't say anything, because at that time I didn't have the emotional capacity to speak from a place of love. I was angry and hurt. But I wish, knowing what I know now, if that were to ever happen, which I just don't have that caliber of friend in my life anymore, but I have a higher caliber of friendships. But I think if that were to happen again, I wouldn't be afraid to be like, hey, I can tell you're really hurting. You're really upset with me. Like, I would love to have a conversation. I would hate for our friendship to end in this manner. You know, it's fine if you don't want to be friends with me anymore, but like, let's both have a conversation. And I just think, you know, when you're in your early 20s too, you're immature and you think you know. And I mean, I knew everything. You couldn't tell me anything. So I think a lot of what I received out of friendship was also a mirror for myself to do a little more work within me. Mm-hmm. And then when I started going deeper and asking myself, well, what is this showing me, or how could I have shown up better? You know, like even with that friend in particular, like I totally understand the pain and frustration that she carried for the traumatic period of time that we had. I mean, there's just so much that happened in our friendship, not even having to do with us, that affected us. So I think also looking back, it allowed me to have more compassion.
Yeah.
You know, and the other friend that emailed me, like we ended up making up, and like, I would say we're like, she lives across the world, but we're friends, you know, like we're cool. Mm-hmm. And we both got to apologize for our piece in it. And that's the other gift sometimes, is that time allows you to reflect even mm-hmm. deeper and realize like certain things that happened in your friendships or in your life, like aren't even about you.
Absolutely. And I think that's like the biggest thing to navigate, is like, especially in friendship early, and even like some friendships now, like still come up sometimes where I'm like, wait, I'm making this all about me. Like I'm being the bad friend or whatever. But I do think that, like, kind of bring it back to where we originally started, was like, I think friendship in your 30s and as you get older, it gets to a place where there's just like, there's love no matter what.
Yeah.
And you love people where they're at, and you realize that everyone is navigating something. 100%. Most likely, like everyone's in a season. Like some people can show up for you so deeply in one season, and then in a different season, they just don't have the capacity to, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think the less that we can take that stuff personal, the more unattached we are from the friendship, but also like still so loving and connected. Like it's not like you're unattached and like an aloof and like you're only hanging out on the fringes. Like you're still in it with them, but there's no like expectation. And I think in an early friendship, maybe that's like where I'm trying to say, is like there's so much expectation about how friends should be. And like there were expectations that I put on myself and then low-key projected them onto someone else. And I think the older that I get, there's like zero expectations. I'm like, I'm going to love you where you're at. If you're mean to me, I'm going to say something, for you sure, know? Yeah. But like most of the times my friends aren't mean. It's just most of the times they're just trying to survive in life.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll still get like I'll still be thoughtful of people. I'll still be caring of people. But like I 10 times want to be the friend that like maybe I haven't seen you in like 3 or 6 months. But like, hey, how are you? I miss you. Like there's no resentment that has built up because they didn't show up in a certain way or whatever.
You're
like
not messaging every day.
Yeah, you're not talking every single day. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like even with like like my best friend, Elizabeth, like we talked every single day. And that was so normal in our 20s. It was mm-hmm. supposed to be talking all the time.
Yeah.
And you just can't do that as you get older. We can talk often. Yeah. You know, like we talk a lot, but we don't talk every minute of the day, 24 hours a day.
No, we do almost talk every day, though, I will say.
We do, but like not 24 hours.
Well, a lot of times we're also talking about business, not about friendship. It's not like when you're just like,
totally,
I did this thing.
And like what I remember, I don't know if you had a best friend like this, but Elizabeth and I'd wake up and call her. And mm-hmm. I'd get in the car and call her. On my way home, I'd call her. Like it was just like we were like glued.
Yeah.
And that has changed so much over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking also, like, because of those experiences, and I'm curious if this is true for you too, it's allowed me to show up so differently and also recognize, like, probably how much in my 20s I was telling a story that wasn't even actually what was happening. Or I'll notice that I'll make up a story in my head about, even not as much with you anymore because we know each other quite well, but like, recently with another friend, I had this whole story in my head of like something going on. And the old me would have just sat in that and just dwelled on it and then pushed it down and been like, whatever. But then because it came up a couple times, I'm like, okay, there's something here for me to work through. I'm going to like bring this to this friend. And I brought it to them and they're like, that's not the story that's happening at all in my head, you know? And they were so well receiving of it. And it made me realize like, oh, okay, there's still a part of me sometimes. There's still some of those friendship wounds operating that are telling these stories. And that's not actually the case of what's happening. Or even if they don't feel that way now, maybe they did at the time, like that's okay too. But it's for me to recognize that, one, there's a gift in confronting in a loving way, like, hey, I'm feeling this way. Am I the only one doing it? Is it only on my side? And two, recognizing like, oh, I'm telling a story right now and I'm projecting or assuming what the other person is thinking, which I think happens a lot in all friendship and all relationships, mm-hmm. which is why communication is equally important in friendships as it is in relationships.
Honestly. I mean, if you're honest, honesty and how you feel, or like asking like a clarifying question, should never break a friendship. We think that oh, if I confront this person, if I bring this up, if I share that like I'm creating this story, then all of a sudden they're going to want to not longer be friends with me.
Yeah.
Like we make this whole fake thing and then we're making meaning of it versus like in a true friendship, like a real, real, real friendship, one that like you want to hold on to for a long time. They won't make meaning of it. They'll just tell you like, yeah, that's not true. Like, or yeah, like that has been coming up. I'm so glad you brought it up. Like, let's talk about it. Like it doesn't have to end up in a breakup. And I think a lot of the times we operate like more than once, like I would love to invite everyone to listen to you. Like how often are you making meaning of something that doesn't exist, but also you're making these stories because you don't want to lose the friendship or you don't want to look like a bad friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to say that's another sign to me that it's not necessarily a toxic friendship, but it's not a solid friendship. If you can't speak your truth and say, hey, this is coming up for me, and like, or you feel hesitant to do that, that's something for you to look at mm-hmm. in friendship. Because I mean, I could say every person I am close to in my life that I spend my time with, like I could go to and be like, hey, I'm feeling this. Are you feeling this? And that's how it should be. It should feel safe to do that.
Mm-hmm. And it takes you feeling safe within yourself.
Yeah,
you know? Like that's sure. really where it starts with. But if there is someone that you are tiptoeing around, like just get a little curious or bring up the conversation. Like, hey, I realize I've been tiptoeing. You know, it doesn't have to be a whole thing. And again, like because you're operating in that way and you really feel called to have that conversation, especially from listening to this, like if that friendship all of a sudden evolves out, like that's okay. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I know we think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like it's maybe we make so much meaning about it, but how beautiful is it that they're choosing their path and they're making their own choices and you're making choices that are better for you and you're going to continue to attract friends that are going to meet you in that conversation.
And
if you really want to have that conversation.
Yeah. And I was going to say you're opening space for a whole new friendship or a new something to come in. Like you're, really? I mean, everything is energy. You're opening an energetic hole for you to fill with something that's more aligned for you.
Absolutely.
I think that's, yeah. And I think honesty, like you said, is number one, like being honest.
If you can't be honest, then you don't have a real friendship.
Yeah. Facts.
I don't want that in my marriage.
True.
And our sisterhoods are just as close.
It is crazy when I think about certain people throughout my life that are in marriages that end up dissolving. And I'm just like, oh, you never saw each other. You never actually listened or knew each other, which blows my mind because some of them were like together for 17 years. And you realize that's true in friendships too, which is why I think sometimes I think people are loyal. There are certain, I'm one of those people that used to struggle to let go of friends. I would just cling and try to make it work. And then you realize that you're doing a disservice to yourself. But also I realized, wow, they never saw me and I maybe never saw them.
Exactly. And I think that just comes through evolution. I mean, life has changed so much since those marriages got married, you know?
And for sure, yeah.
And life is going to change so much for us like 20 years from now, you know? And like this conversation is going to look so different, you know? So we'll see what happens.
What's your advice for anyone that's like trying to find deep friendships now? Like how would you go about it if you did it all over again? I mean, we met at a women's circle.
Yeah. I mean, it's just deeper spaces. I mean, that's really, I found deeper friendships by going to retreats, being a part of in-person events where we talked about our feelings. Like I needed to learn how to be deeper with myself and be more vulnerable with myself. And by being in those spaces, I also found other people that were doing the same thing. And so we started learning how to hold each other in that. I don't think that's the way that you have to do it with everyone, but I'd say like, even in your friendships today, tell them a little bit more than you haven't told them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just be a little bit more honest, a little bit more raw, a little bit more real.
Yeah.
One thing that I did for a long time, like just a simple, how are you? Like even at coworkers at work.
Yeah.
If they ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell them. Like really, not just like, I'm good. Like, mm-hmm. no, I'm tired and I don't feel good. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, like.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities to practice your honesty and your vulnerability And just by practicing, you will start to attract those people and you're going to feel like, wow, like this isn't that scary.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say too. Yeah. I mean, everything we speak about, be authentic in yourself and you'll attract the people that want to be in your truth, in your authenticity. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was going to say is I've been thinking a lot about that phrase, like, oh, you are the people you spend the most time with, right? Or you're just like them, and be careful who you choose to spend your time with. And I've noticed when I look around certain circles around us, like I notice that that gets morphed into like only be around successful people or only be around people who think your way or only be around this type of thing. And I was walking with a friend the other day and she was telling me about a mutual acquaintance, and that person like really only wants to be around super wealthy, successful people, which is great. Like, do you. But it made me think for a second that like at the core of who we are, like that's not important. I would rather surround myself with happy people. Like if she were to say she only wants to be around positive-minded people, I'd be like, hell yeah, that's me. You know, I want to be around, not to say you can't have bad days, but like someone who, people that are trying to better themselves in some capacity, that they see the gratitude of life and they're optimistic and they try to be optimistic. But like, I would encourage anyone listening to like expand your circle to people maybe you wouldn't normally seek friendship with, or, you know, people with different viewpoints, or people who are like bringing something to the table that maybe you might be lacking. Because I just think we sometimes get comfortable in certain circles or we limit ourselves, and then we don't actually expand our souls in the way we could if we allowed ourselves to be around people who challenge us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've even attracted certain type of friendships in my life that have really like pushed me to grow emotionally and grow in the way I communicate. And I'm so grateful for those friendships now because they've made me a better communicator. They've mm-hmm. made me a better person. And I think the old me would have just been like, nope, that's not my type of person. Like I'm just going to not be friends with that person. And now it's like, oh, what, like you said, bringing it full circle, like what is this showing me and how can I show up better for this person in a way that maybe I wouldn't have had to do for anybody else. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I think I love that you said that. And the last thing I want to say is like you move from I to we. And I know like when you first in your 20s, it's all about them. Like you're just like living your life through them and like what they think is cool and like, what am I going to be accepted for? And then you move into this journey of like, it's all about me and like what I want and what I need and the life that I want to create. And then you move into this like part of friendship or just like community where it's all about us. It's about we. It's like, I want to see you win and I want to see me win. And we have completely different values. We're on different phases. We're in different timelines. We're not like, it doesn't matter. Like it literally doesn't matter. And this is why I love our community so much and why I love being around like other women in our communities, because it shows me that I'm like the competition, it truly doesn't matter. Like we can be so different mm-hmm. and have different experiences or be on different timelines or have been processing different things at different times or whatever. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, I mean, at the root, we have so much more in common than we do apart, mm-hmm. like differences. But yeah, I mean, we talk about this all the time that I feel like our community creates such a safety net for people that it attracts all different types of people. Because really at the root of it, we all just want to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And like we hold a great space for you to be fully expressed, you know? And like, yeah, I know that like sometimes it's so easy to like go into a group and feel like I can't talk to anyone. But like if you go into a group being like we're all the same, you'll talk to everyone. Like that's like the biggest thing too is like when you access that level of like confidence or just like self-assurance that like, oh, there's something for me to talk to about anyone. I love the idea of treating strangers like your best friends. Like just that energy shift will open you up to so much more friendship in a way that you've never experienced before. Be like, whoa, like we're so different, but you're so cool, you know? And like, I don't have to hesitate around you or I don't have to like ask you questions to see if I'm safe with you. Like just try really, really showing up to rooms feeling like, okay, if I felt safe in this really, like if I felt safe in me, how would I act?
Yeah.
And usually you're met in that really beautifully. If you're not, you'll just move on to the next person you'll meet.
Yeah, 100%. And get curious. I feel like Corinne and I both love to ask people questions about themselves. And I think that's another way to really like feel someone's energy and feel into them mm-hmm. and be like, oh, is this a match or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
No. I feel like go be yourself. Go be authentic.
Yeah. And like you know, these conversations are going to continue evolving. And I think the more that we talk about friendship and honesty and communication, like, again, I just can't wait for what we're going to say in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think I say that to giving yourself like a lot of grace, no matter where you are at in your journey of friendship and relating to other people. But at the end of the day, I think we're all trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. We're all going through something or some internal world. No matter what someone looks like there's something that they're thinking about. There's no way that they're not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Love you guys.
See you next time.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you, more honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.